integrity in each of the services is also critical to a strong military. General Amos, I have become friends with Major James Wyrick, United States Marine Corps, who I sincerely believe is a man of integrity. Did you fear Major Wyrick at any point?
My name is James Wyrick, and this is Military Justice, my podcast about the system of justice that governs those who protect our nation. Welcome back to Military Justice. Thanks for being here again. And this is a Saved Rounds and Alibis episode. This comes from you, the listeners. In a previous episode, I mentioned some misconduct by general officers. And you were evidently very interested in that. So I have compiled a list of general officers who've gotten in trouble in the military in the last 5 years or so. Now, to be clear, the reason for me compiling this list is also, well, one, to answer to you, the listeners. I mean, that's part of military justice here. But also to point out that these are the men, and I'm not being sexist here, I just haven't found really much conduct by female general officers. These are the men charged with enforcing the law in the military. The military justice system, which I am in favor of reforming, currently has the commander as the decision maker. And so all service members are subject to the legal decisions of these general officers. And what's important there is not only the power to bring a case, but also the power to not bring a case. And that's why I want to highlight what's been going on over the last few years in the military. On a high note, I think the United States public since Vietnam has made a great change. By and large, the U.S. public is very supportive of service members. On a personal note, I've never been treated so well. And as a active duty Marine, and as now as a veteran, as in retirement, people go out of their way to be thankful. And that starts, you know, back with 9/11. And I think that that's been a very good change for America. Even if you don't agree with the conflict, you still support the brave men and women who take that action. So that's good. The downside, our generals are treated as demigods now. No one in the press, not really many politicians, they don't take them to task for much. And that's bad. That's very bad. That breeds a sense of entitlement. I mean, really, how many times have you heard the generals questioned or their judgment brought into question in the wars that we've been in for the last 15 years? That's a bad sign. You'll notice here there's a lack of any Navy admirals. That's because they've really got themselves in enough problems with this fat lettered scandal that they need an episode unto themselves. So you're only going to hear about Marine, Army, and Air Force generals today. The Navy, your shenanigans with the 7th Fleet and Fat Leonard, you get your own episode. That'll be coming up. So today, let's look at some of the generals who have gotten in trouble over the last 5 years. Of course, General David Petraeus, U.S. Army. General John Allen, U.S. Marine Corps. General James Cartwright, also U.S. Marine Corps. Major General Ron Lewis, U.S. Army. Major General David Haight, U.S. Army. General Kip Ward, U.S. Army. Major General John Custer, U.S. Army. Brigadier General Brian Roberts, U.S. Army. Major General Wayne Grigsby, U.S. Army. General Arthur Lichke, U.S. Air Force. Lieutenant General Ken Gluck, U.S. Marine Corps. Brigadier General Michael Regner, U.S. Marine Corps. General Martin Dempsey, United States Army. Lieutenant General John Hesterman, U.S. Air Force. And you'll notice on, just as a convention during this episode, I'm going to list the highest rank they achieved. All these men are retired now, and some have had their ranks lowered. I just used the rank at the time. For example, you have General Arthur Lichke. He definitely got busted down. Some of these people aren't even generals anymore, but they were generals at the time of their misconduct. General James Hoss Cartwright. General Cartwright was at one time viewed as President Obama's favorite general officer. He's a Marine aviator. Cartwright had already kind of escaped an earlier investigation by DODIG, where a young female officer in his staff was repeatedly found drunk and one time spent a number of hours in the general's hotel room while she was intoxicated. Not clear what was going on in that hotel room, but nonetheless, Cartwright escaped all of that. And he was the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, so the number two military officer in the military. Then, post-retirement, Cartwright pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI about discussing with reporters the details of Iran's nuclear program. And I think also the Stuxnet virus. I'd have no firsthand knowledge of any of these programs or issues. I'm just telling you what he confessed to in open court. According to reports, he blacked out when he was confronted about his lies. Then he was taken to the hospital and stayed overnight. First of all, come on. You're blacking out because you got caught lying to the FBI? You're a Marine general officer and a fighter pilot? Nonetheless, I have had colleagues and friends continue to this day to defend Cartwright. He was, by the way, I've written about this before, he was pardoned by President Obama, but that doesn't change his actions. That just means he's not being held accountable for them. But I have friends and colleagues who continue to defend Cartwright, saying what he did, that he must have done it for a good reason, that he was doing it to help his country, that he had the best of intentions. I cannot believe that. When you have the best of intentions, you're doing something for your country and you're authorized to do so, you don't later plead guilty to breaking the law. And there would be no reason to lie to the FBI about it. And you were made aware that you didn't have to talk to them. You could remain silent. You could get a lawyer. Now moving on to Ron Lewis. He was the senior aide to the Secretary of Defense. He's set for everything. He's set for life. There's no question that he's going to be going on to bigger and better things in the Army. He was a 3-star at the time. He's investigated by Department of Defense IG, DODIG, and they substantiate the following allegations: misuse of government charge card, false official statement, that's again lying, and conduct unbecoming an officer in the Army. Conduct unbecoming a military officer. I used his government card at strip clubs in Rome and Seoul. There was excessive drinking. He had improper interactions with women. And he was demoted to a 1-star general at retirement. No court-martial. I can tell you for sure if your average sergeant was using his or her government charge card at a strip club, there would be hell to pay. Mostly in a court of law.
Military Justice is brought to you by the good people of Betterment. Betterment is the largest independent online financial advisor. The service is designed to help improve customers' long-term returns while lowering taxes for retirement planning, building wealth, and other financial goals. Betterment takes advanced investment strategies and uses technology to deliver them to more than 250,000 customers. Now you may be asking, why should I choose Betterment over my current investment platform? For one, personalized advice for your financial planning needs. Based on the information you tell us, we make tailored recommendations on decisions like how much to invest, how much risk to take in your portfolio, and the type of investment account you should have. Or advice that looks at all of your wealth. Betterment gives you a clear view of your net worth when you sync your outside accounts, such as bank accounts and other investments. We show you how much your outside brokerage accounts are costing you in fees and uninvested cash. Now, investing involves risk, and that's true even if you do use Betterment. But listeners of this podcast can get up to 1 year managed free. Yes, that's a free year of investment advice. For more information, visit betterment.com/military. Betterment. Rethink what your money can do. Again, for that free year, go to betterment.com/military. U.S. Army General David Haight is known as the Swinging General. Yes, that's what he's called. He had an 11-year affair, again, while married. He swapped sexual partners. He was demoted to colonel. No court-martial here. And we didn't know about it until there was a FOIA request to get the report from the Army. The Army had kept this private. And I'll just say here, I'm going to mention a couple reporters throughout this show. This case is thanks to reporters like Tom Vandenbroek of USA Today. I'll put his Twitter in the show notes. We really wouldn't know about this if we didn't have dedicated reporters like him. Again, Haight was married, and he was the commanding general of European Command at the time. And he was promoted 3 times during his affair. What's important about this is, think about that. He's the commanding general of European Command. He is engaging in this swinging lifestyle, and he has access to tons of classified information. Think about the blackmail possibilities there. So I'm not trying to moralize about any of these things. I'm just saying that these actions put service members in danger. And he definitely should not have had access to classified information. So that's the Swinging General. Keeping with the Army, we have General Kip Ward. He was the commanding general of AFRICOM, so the combatant commander, 4-star general in charge of all of Africa. Again, government travel card. He spent $82,000 on unauthorized travel. He was ordered to repay that. I will tell you that a sergeant who spent $82 would get more than a order to repay it. That means Kip Ward stole $82,000 and never received a court-martial or anything like that. Don't worry, he was taken care of. And he was reduced in rank, but still draws $28,000 a year in retirement. So he's probably still doing okay. He used his military vehicle for his wife to go shopping, go to spas. He stayed the night in lavish hotels, a few nights in the Bermuda at $700 per night for that room. He accepted Broadway show tickets and went backstage with Denzel Washington. I can tell you, having worked as a lawyer for 1-2-3-star generals and probably doing at least, maybe multiple hundred ethics advice letters, that's absolutely clear that you cannot do things like that. You can't be accepting Broadway show tickets in your official capacity as a general officer. You can't be going to backstage with Denzel Washington, and the joint travel regs make it pretty clear that you aren't staying in a hotel in Bermuda for $750 per night. That's not within the military rate. And again, no criminal action taken in Kip Ward's case. Sticking with the Army here for a moment, John Custer, not that Custer, not the guy from a long time ago with long hair. This is a more recent Custer with short hair and a fondness for misconduct. Army IG found inappropriate relationship with women, lied to investigators, made staff buy sexy clothing for his paramour, sent sexist and racist emails to subordinates, and they found a photo of some woman licking his medals while he was wearing them in his dress uniform. This is actually one of the worst examples, or best, but this is really deplorable what General Dempsey did. General Dempsey at the time was overseeing this case. He disapproved all those findings in Custer's case, so he gave him a pass on everything. Dempsey later goes on to be the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the highest ranking military officer in the land. And so he disapproved the findings. He, in Marine Corps lingo, cut John Custer a huss. And General Dempsey had made numerous statements about accountability. He had talked about how the general officers need to be held accountable and they need to be doing better, all the time knowing what he had done in the Custer case. Of course, General Dempsey makes no statement to the press about this. This is seriously the prime example of the old boys network and why military justice needs to change, because it's really the generals that determine if other generals would be going to a court-martial. Nothing happened in Custer's case. And another issue that you'll see in military justice fields that's obviously a big deal is, or it goes without saying, this is a huge deal, is sexual assault. So if you're commanding officer, that is the person in charge of bringing a case against a service member that is accused of sexual assault. So think about if you are a young female private in then General Custer's command. I'm not saying that men aren't sexually assaulted. They are quite a bit in the military. But there's something especially troubling about being a female private who was, let's say, raped or sexually assaulted. And she has to make the determination if she's going to report it. She has to report it to her chain of command. And this is the man that's in charge of whether or not that sexual assault case will go forward. The military is big, but it's also little. If General Custer's staff is being sent these emails that are sexist and racist, if those members of the staff are buying sexy clothes for his lover, especially the enlisted, they know this. And a general staff has senior people in it, but it also has junior people. I mean, you could have an E3 as the driver. That E3 is going back to the barracks and says, oh yeah, you know, I had to take the chief of staff or the staff secretary to Fredericks of Hollywood today to buy sexy outfits for the general. So that gets around. So think of the predicament that young female private is put in, knowing that type of person is in charge of the final disposition in her case. Does she want to go forward with reporting that sexual assault, knowing that he's in charge of it? Army General Brian Roberts. Oh, this guy had a number of lovers and a number of physical altercations with them. Again, he was the commanding general, and He'd been under investigation for quite a while, or it was reported that he had a number of extramarital lovers. And he'd explained to his troops that he had, quote, zero tolerance for sexual assault and harassment, unquote. That's while he was under investigation, by the way. The Army IG found that he had been in numerous physical altercations with his lover, one where she slapped him and then he later bit her lip. They found that he had used his government cell phone to call her over 936 times. Again, think of that young female private that hears about zero tolerance for sexual assault and harassment and then knows that this is going on with the CG. This is James Weirich, and I'm a podcaster. But you probably already knew that, considering you are listening to my podcast, Military Justice. I was recently talking to a podcast buddy of mine, Brooke Giddings. We were discussing our participation this year in Podcast Movement. Podcast Movement is a gathering or a convention of podcasters, those associated with equipment for podcasting, podcast fans, and both Brooke and I attended it last year in Chicago and had a great time, made lasting friends, and look forward to going back again this year. Brooke and I will be sharing time at the Audio Boom table. You can come by, talk to us, get some stickers or whatever else we have, or just say hello. We'd love to meet you. So we'll be at Podcast Movement in beautiful Anaheim, California, August 23rd to the 25th. That's in the year 2017. Also, listen to Brooke Giddings. She's an outstanding teller of stories. You can catch her on her original podcast, Actual Innocence, her new podcast, Convicted, or her even newer podcast, A&E Cold Case Files. Well, she does a lot of podcasts. I can tell you, I was at Podcast Movement last year, and I had a great time. So if you're a podcaster, considering becoming a podcaster, or just a fan, come out. Have a good time. It's Anaheim. And go to Disneyland. Hope to see you there. Army General Wayne Grigsby, he came up just recently. It's a fairly recent case. He was demoted to 2-star, and he had been having an extramarital affair with his subordinate. He called and texted his female captain 850 times in 10 months, and he had already been confronted by both his chief of staff and sergeant major about people talking about the general's relationship with this captain. Again, of course, he was married, and he, a few days later, came out with a statement and said it was the number of deployments was the reason for his misconduct and infidelity. And here's the problem, for those of you not in the military. So he's warned by his chief of staff and sergeant major, a general or admiral, but a general officer has a staff. And his chief of staff is just that, the most senior person under the general and his closest confidant. He runs the staff. And the sergeant major is the eyes and ears of the enlisted portion of the command. So having the sergeant major address the general about this is really bad. That means that those young privates, corporals, sergeants know about this. And another element of this, and I'm not saying it rises to the level of rape, but given the rank structure of the military, to truly say it was a consensual, there were consensual acts between a general and a captain, that's difficult to say. I'm not saying that this was rape, to be clear on that. But when you're a captain and you're asked for something by a general, That's not just a regular request. That person is so far above you, it's hard to imagine. I mean, it really is hard to imagine. As a captain, I never saw a general and never talked to a general. And so he's having a love affair with this female captain. And just the problems that that creates in the military, because, you know, favoritism over the other captains, he or his chief of staff are probably rating them in their fitness reports, and one's having an illicit affair with him. I can imagine she probably got better marks. So people are talking. The chief of staff tells him that, and his sergeant major. Again, put yourself in the place of that young female private who maybe had, you know, somebody touch her inappropriately back at the barracks, and she knows the general's driver. Does she want to report this? How motivated is she to report her sexual assault, knowing that this adulterous affair is going on by the general? And again, that general is in charge of all of military justice. Moving to the Air Force for a minute, Arthur Lichty, four-star Air Force general, he's demoted to two-star. He still pulls in $156,000 a year in retirement. He was married. There was a finding of sexual misconduct, specifically sexual assault. According to the investigation, the victim, quote, felt she had no choice to engage in sexual contact with Lichty due to his rank and position in the Air Force. No court-martial. Marine Lieutenant General Ken Gluck, misuse of his government vehicle and his driver. He was having his driver pick him up at home and then drive him around. It couldn't be more clear. This is an easy issue. Generals have drivers to take them to official functions, and that's legitimate. But it's very clear from the ethics rules. I've gone over this with many, many, many people, and the general needs to drive from his or her home to their place of work. In General Gluck's case, he was driving to the officers' club in Okinawa. I lived there for a long time, for a year and a half, right next to it. That's where my barracks were. And that's only feet from his house. So he's, oh, I'll just drive a few feet from my house and then park there and then be driven around all day. This just shows the level of entitlement and the idea that these generals think they're just above the law. The rules and law don't apply to them. They will do things the way they wish to do things. Mike Regner, United States Marine Corps. This is one that's most upsetting to me because I have interacted with some people from this case and know some of the actors. In this case, we owe a debt of gratitude to reporter Hope Hodge-Seck. You can go read her stuff at military.com. I'll also put her Twitter information in the notes, in the show notes. But if not for her, we wouldn't have known about this case. The worst part of this is the devastating effect it had on the person who reported this misconduct. General Regner, nothing happened to him. He, of course, went on to a more important job. But Sergeant Major Jamie Winders, someone that I've been in contact with, somebody that I have a number of mutual friends with that served with Sergeant Major Winders, they couldn't have spoken more highly of him as a Marine, as a senior enlisted advisor. And this really devastated his career. He went from being the sergeant major for a two-star in Korea to then being the sergeant major for a colonel. That's devastating. That's going in the wrong direction. And that's all because he reported the misconduct of General Regner. Regner was requiring subordinates to do his personal menial tasks. He had them move in his household goods, had them shine his shoes, had his fill up his personal car with gas, then pick up laundry. This is all easy stuff. Your enlisted Marines are not required to do that. As a general, you have to know that. That's been drilled into you your entire time in the military. He's just using them as servants. I mean, they are there to accomplish military tasks in for the command, not to be doing the personal menial labor for the general. Rager moves on and is the director of the Marine Corps staff. That is the equivalent of the chief of staff for the commandant. A very important role at the Pentagon. And this is after the IG had found misconduct on his behalf. That's a three-star position, the director of the Marine Corps staff. So the Marine Corps, knowing that there had been substantiated misconduct against Regner, goes ahead and still submits his name for the rank of three-star general. Not only do they do nothing in his case, they want to reward him with additional rank. Fortunately, very fortunately, our military is subject to other branches of the government. The Senate failed to act / rejected his nomination. They just let it die on the vine. The Marine Corps had been tone deaf enough to submit his name for three star, for an additional third star, after this misconduct. And this just goes to show that the military is unable to police its own. It's too small of an organization in the sense that, like, if you're looking at the Marine Corps, you have somewhere around 60 some odd, 64 general officers. It's too small of a community for them to police their own. They liked Regner. And so investigation be damned, misconduct be damned, nothing's going to happen to him, and he needs to move along to a higher billet. Luckily, the Senate was there to stop that. And again, I really feel for Sergeant Major Jamie Winders. I hope maybe someday to do a little more on this story. But to know that he was trying to do the right thing. He was protecting his young enlisted Marines that were doing these menial tasks for the general. And he's the only one that got in trouble for this. He's the one that gets a bad assignment. He's the one that has his career derailed just because he was trying to do the right thing. Air Force. John Hesterman, 3-star, sent sexually suggestive emails to a female lieutenant colonel. They're both married. There was the husband of that lieutenant colonel believes that there was an affair per the IG report. The IG report couldn't find any evidence of a physical relationship, although that's sometimes difficult to find. No court martial. Nothing in this case, and he still gets $156,000 a year in retirement. Again, sending sexually suggestive emails and possibly having an affair with a female lieutenant colonel. Even just these emails, I'll tell you, I mean, I worked long enough around these Marines and the Air Force also, that the young enlisted that run the computer networks of the military know all about this. That's just what they do. So there's no way that this didn't get around. And this is really another one of those cases. It's very difficult to imagine that that young female sexual assault survivor is going to go forward knowing this is the person that's going to ultimately decide if her case goes to court. Been saving for last two of the highest ranking officers that we're discussing here. That's General Petraeus and General Allen. I've written about these cases, both of them, threatened with a lawsuit in one of them. So let's start with General David Petraeus. Of course, he's probably one of the most well-known generals, maybe behind Mattis, of the last 15 years. He was a 4-star general in the Army for years. He then goes on to be the director of the CIA post-retirement. This is what he does when he's director of the CIA. Well, let's go back to what he was doing before. He had been having a long affair with his biographer, a female lieutenant colonel, who would follow him around and just do his bidding. She was writing a book about him. I think it's called All In. Yes. The book is called all in the story of David Petraeus. So Petraeus obviously had to have lied about his affair during his screening to become the director of the CIA. He also kept a book of classified information that he then gives to his biographer. He does this so that she can write a more flattering and descriptive biography of him. He's not trying to save the world. He's not trying to stop World War III. He just wants a more flattering book written. He's the CIA director at the time. He's still corresponding with her using draft emails in a Google account or a Yahoo account. Just poor Craycraft if you're going to be the top-ranking spy in the U.S. I mean, at least know that. So he's then confronted by the FBI. They're investigating this. He's in a CIA office, and they ask him about the affair and ask him about his sending that classified information to an unauthorized individual. He lies about it, denies it. He had the right to remain silent, obviously. He had the right to counsel, but he just brazenly lies about it. Nope, didn't do it. He is later, for some reason, he's not charged with that, with lying to FBI agents, but he is convicted of a misdemeanor for revealing classified information. And again, this just shows the above-the-law-ness that these general officers are suffering from. I mean, Petraeus later goes on, I mean, as everybody knows, he goes on to continue to be in the spotlight. You can constantly see him on numerous talk shows, always giving his opinions about different things and the war and international relations. And I suggest that we all remain very cognizant of what he's done before. He is, it seems to me, obsessed with his own personal advancement. The truth be damned, he's shown that in the past. So I think we should all be very cautious when seeing where David Petraeus goes next. I will put a link to some of my articles about this in the show notes. And finally, we'll finish up today with General John Allen. I knew about General John Allen for years. I mean, before I ever even started in the Marine Corps, he was featured in a book, an actual non-fictitious book about a Marine expeditionary unit. So I had read about him before I ever even attempted to join the Marine Corps. He had a stellar career. He was a four-star general. He had been the first Marine Commandant of Midshipmen. He had been the first Marine Corps officer on the Council on Foreign Relations. He had a stellar record. But he got caught up in the same issue as General David Petraeus. General David Petraeus had his mistress. But there was also this young woman in Tampa, this socialite, Jill Kelly, attractive woman, who was very much enamored with all of the generals. So she was also contacting General Petraeus and General Allen. So General Petraeus' lover gets jealous, as lovers sometimes do, and was going after Jill Kelly. And that's what led to a investigation by the FBI that looked into Allen's record. Allen had sent hundreds and hundreds of emails to this Jill Kelly while he was in Afghanistan leading the war effort there. So he's later nominated to be the Supreme Allied Commander for NATO. So he's going to be in charge of all groups in NATO, and that's in November of 2012. In February of 2013, after all of this breaks, he offers his resignation from the military. And he said his, quote, primary concern is for the health of his wife. And he said it, quote, found it profoundly sobering to consider how much time he had spent away from his wife and daughters. And then now it's time for him to be with them. That's in February of 2013. Then in April, he retires from the Marine Corps. Then in May, he's appointed special U.S. envoy on security issues in negotiations between Israel and the Palestinian Authority. I mean, if your primary concern is caring for your wife, it seems like that might take some of your time. I mean, Israel and Palestine getting together, that might take time. Then in September of 2014, Allen is appointed by President Obama to serve as special presidential envoy for Global Coalition to Counter ISIL. That's also known as the ISIS Czar. And why this is important is he doesn't have to be confirmed for this. So he was allowed to retire. The investigation into him then stops because he retires. And then he says that it's to take care of his family, spend more time with his family. Retires a few months later, and then, not even a year later, he is then the ISIS czar. The key to being a czar is he is not subject to Senate confirmation. I believe it's Congresswoman Jackie Speier from California who had questioned the investigation into Allen, saying that the FBI never even looked into his private email accounts. They only looked in his government email accounts, and there were hundreds of emails to Jill Kelly. I'm not suggesting that Mrs. Allen wasn't sick. I'm just suggesting that it's very convenient that he's on a number of times invoked his wife's illness to retire, but then to reemerge again. You probably saw him at the DNC. I think he was the keynote speaker at the DNC National Convention during this last election. So he has definitely stayed in the public spotlight. That's it, and that's all. I hope you enjoyed this. Again, this is not bashing of the military. There's great people in the military, but my primary concern is that E3, the backbone of everything that goes on in all of the services. Without them, things don't get done. And again, I use that example of that young 19-year-old sexual assault survivor, and she's stuck with the decision, does she report this or not? And she knows, her friends know about these generals and what's going on with them. And think about what she has to go through and how torturous it is for her to have to make that decision. She knows that a lot's going to be brought up, a lot of her personal life, it's going to be traumatic already. But that these men are the ones in charge has got to add additional pressure to her. That's why I support Military Justice Improvement Act. I support reform of the military justice system because of the, I think we have 97 U.S. attorneys across the nation. I could not have compiled a list like this of misconduct by those U.S. attorneys. Absolutely not. Thank you, and I look forward to talking to you again. And thank you all for giving me these recommendations. I really like to be able to bring you episodes that come from your recommendations. And that's why I podcast, to talk to you, the listener. Have a great day. Wyrick out. Military Justice is a production of Long Arc Digital Media. There are numerous people that need to be thanked for making Military Justice possible. First of all, audio. Those are the people that clean up all the mistakes I made. Hannah McCarthy, she takes care of that. Methil Talhan, she takes care of everything. She keeps the show moving along and keeps all of us on schedule. Executive producer is Dennis Robinson. You know him from Undisclosed and The Wearing of Underwear. And as always, Uber producer Dreadnought has my six.